outside markets weighing into what we see in the markets today. You're listening to the American Ag Network, and good afternoon. I'm Susan Littlefield. Mike Zuzulo joins us today. Mike, of course, with Global Commodity Analytics. So let's look at those outside market influences and how you see those weighing into what we're seeing post-WASD.
You know, that's the thing, Susan. I don't think the trade really got anything out of the WASD report in terms of moving the trend one way or the other. It's really still about the outside markets. It's really still about the South American weather, which that's probably starting to be more on the decline in some ways. It will become much more important for the Safrina corn here in the next couple, 3 weeks. But other than that, we have a pretty good handle, I think, on what the South American production levels for soybeans especially are going to be. And then obviously what's happening in the winter wheat crop and what's happening with the second half of March as we get ready to come back to the end of March acreage numbers and then the beginnings of our formal crop progress numbers. Obviously, smack dab in the middle of that is the President Trump, President Xi meeting. So today it was about the WASD report not showing much. In fact, in the cattle market, I know we're talking grains, but in the cattle market, the reduction in the production side for beef and the increase in steer prices had next to no impact whatsoever. It was still very much about the outside markets. And I think that's really where the trade is going to continue to be. One big thing I did see was some of the big fertilizer and agriculture-related publicly traded stocks were really up sharply compared to the rest of some of the other equities markets in percentage terms. I think the trade's starting to wake up a little bit more to what's happening with our input costs, especially for the corn market. And I say that because it was right around the same time that I saw that the March corn traded here. March is already almost ready to go off the board here on Friday, but we've traded 284 contracts here late session, and we're up a dime as the market just jumped. And I do think the ethanol report showing a reduction in production and, a reduction in stocks and an increase in production starting to look a lot like bean oil, where you're seeing a lot of biodiesel being blended more into Asian fuel tanks at this point because of what's happening in the Mideast. So you can connect the dots. The dots, I think, clearly go back to the energy markets right now.
Especially when we see all those rumors that continue to fly around about, is the strait open? Are they moving ships through? Is it only ships with Chinese flags? I mean, there's a lot that's going to add into this market as we continue into tomorrow.
You know, there really is. And it's funny, I was just doing my taxes for the company 3 weeks or 4 weeks ago, and I was complaining to some people about the high dollar information that I buy. Now I'm not complaining so much because I can watch a real-time transit map through the Strait of Hormuz and see exactly what's happening and match that up with some of the other data that I pay for. And it's been a real bonus to have that. And it's really helped the clients and the subscribers understand fact from fiction. And I think that the truth of the matter right now is that there's no getting around that the IEA, the World Energy Association, essentially the International Energy Association, announced a 400 million barrel release from strategic reserves for the world. Most of that's going to be on the back of the United States and Japan. That was double what was released during the Ukraine-Russia war that broke out about 4 years ago. And it was a brand new record for that release of that amount. So that kind of tells you that we are tight on oil. We're tight on petroleum. India, Vietnam, Philippines, other Asian countries, all making moves to either limit traffic, limit going into work. They're really starting to pull down on their demand because of the supply constraints that are real and are manifesting in especially those Asian countries.
Well, as we get closer, we've got the planting intentions report at month's end. Does that give us another avenue that the grains could possibly focus on?
Yes, this is where if you're looking at November beans sitting at 1170 for a high today, and you're looking at July hard red wheat sitting at a 637 and a quarter high today going into the close, and you look at December corn at a 489 high today, one really wonders why the corn isn't up percentage terms more than anything else out there, given the inputs that we have to deal with when it comes to the chemicals, fertilizer and diesel prices that are going to have to be paid most likely now if this war doesn't end within the next week or two. So I think this is where acreage numbers probably are moving right now. And it will be very interesting to see, A, what USDA says, and then B, what the trade really believes.
Mike, let's talk a little bit about S&P 500 and the price relationship it has with cattle.
Yeah, this is where you've got the investment class between the higher corn prices, Susan, and the stock market. You've got the investment class still liquidating out of the cattle market, and feeders pretty much have a bullseye on them because of the corn especially. But right now, on a four-week basis, if you would look at the price of the S&P 500 futures and lead month fat cattle, you've got about a 95% positive price relationship between the two. So it's a dog and a tail situation, if you ask me. If the stock market is up at the end of the day before the cattle close, we'll probably see cattle short covering. Otherwise, the investors will continue to let go, I think, of their longs. Fortunately, they're not nearly as long as they were 3-4 months ago. So between that, the inflation data that we saw today, and some of the other market movers that I look at, I feel like that the cattle market is going to find some support here within the next $3 to $5 in the fat cattle, especially, and especially if the drought continues, and just talking futures there.
So what you're saying, really, don't give up on this cattle market. There's a lot of factors weighing in, from Greeley to what we're seeing in the S&P 500, but things should turn around.
Yeah, I think that's, I would say, is the high end, that's the question, is the high end? And I would say right now, no, I don't think so. What I would say, though, is that if we continue on this path with higher energy prices for another week or two, that could really start to crimp some of the demand side of the equation. I mean, we've got the CPI inflation data out today. It was good overall, unchanged versus January, year over year, the slowest in 5 years. We did see a tick down in ground beef prices, but we saw ticks up in other types of beef. And year over year, we're still looking at 100% ground beef at almost 20% above last year at this time. That's going to start to bite more and more if we see higher gas prices as we get into summer grilling season. So that's the line I'm walking right now.
All right. Mike Zuzulo joining us this afternoon. Quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That is the Wednesday market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.